Well, what I found out this weekend, the only difference between me and your pastor is that I get credit for horsing around. He gets in trouble for horsing around. I'll tell you, I came here Thursday night, and you had Reformation celebration, the Halloween alternative, and we didn't get to do what we normally planned because of the weather. Man, I thought there was a whole lot of ugly people attend this church. I'm glad to see you clean up a little bit. Before I forget, we've got a little booth right back here that has a reflection of today's message, a book, some other items back there, and I always forget to announce those things. We're working on another book that may be titled Horses Don't Text. The only way you impact a life is by a relationship. Well, it was one of those special occasions, my dear friends, when I had a chance to be with my father-in-law, a great man of God. His name is Dale, and my son, an adopted boy, and we were taking a journey to northeast New Mexico, Raton, if any of you know the area at all. And there is the headquarters of the CS Ranch, the Charles Springer Ranch. Now, years ago, Charles Springer was a very wise man and bought up all the water rights to the northeast section of New Mexico. So he had quite a bit of domain and power and influence there. It was referred to as the CS Ranch. They had places like the ski resorts. Some of you go to Angel Fire, some of those places. But this was a spring gather. Now, a gather for you non-livestock people are not when we're selling off the calves or separating things. We're bringing all the mothers and their babies in from large areas of domain of pasture, and we're gathering them together in the spring, and we inoculate the calves, notch them, identify them, castrate any bull calves that want to be castrated, and just check their general health and brand them perhaps as well. So it's a spring gather, and because they're Westerners and cowboys, they don't always let Eastern Yankees in. We were from Pennsylvania at the time. But over the years, I'd had a lot of horses from the CS, and they had helped me a lot. And so that morning when we were gathering together, Mary Davis, who married, she's a Georgia gal. And there's a connection right there, isn't it? She was a Georgia gal from Windy Hill Ranch over by Athens. And she had married the foreman of the CS. And, of course, the CS has several divisions, and one of those divisions was called Crow Creek Ranch, a division of the CS Ranch. And so Mary and her husband particularly oversaw and lived on the Crow Creek division. And Mary said, well, Lou, I'll assign you horses. We're going to load the horses. We're going to go out and gather cattle, mamas and calves, and I'll assign you a three-year-old mare. Now, this is a beautiful mare, and Mary had a lot of confidence in my riding ability. She said, the mare's broke fine, but it's been a while since she's been ridden, so I'll take any risk with you. I'll give your father-in-law a great ride to horse, and I'll give your son a good, quiet horse, and so we did that. Well, you know, I get a hold of the horse, and we start to saddle up a little bit because we're going to saddle the horses before we head out in the trailer. And so we get our equipment together, and I noticed the mare was nice and quiet, but, you know, she had a little fresh on her. A little fresh is what you get when you have cold weather out here, when it gets cold and horses have a little frisk in them. And so I thought, well, you know, I don't want to be unwise, but I'm gonna go ahead and load the saddle and had my bridle and things like that, and finally when I get out there. So we drove 15 minutes to the other end of the pasture. Now, we're not talking, when we talk about gather cows, when you look way off into the horizon and you see a little black dot and somebody says, put it in third gear canter and go out there and gather up those cows, we're talking loping third gear all the way to get to the little black dot and bring it back. We're talking a ranch that's 365,000 acres. We're talking about spring gather, and we're going to gather those calves. We're going to move them up to high pasture for the summer up in the mountains. We're tens of thousands of acres up there, and then we're going to make sure they're okay for the season. So this is vast land, dry land. Droughts last for years there, and it's very, very sparse. You might have, if you have livestock here, 1 acre per animal or 1 to 2 acres maybe for a horse or cow. Over there, they've got 200 acres per livestock, per head. So you're talking about vast lands, the kind of stuff that goes back through history. Now, as I got off the mare, I got the mare off the trailer, you know, and I checked on her girth and put on her a little bit, I noticed she just felt a little sneaky, a little snaky maybe. And I'm thinking, you know, I just better watch what I'm doing. And I saddled up on her, and I stepped on her, and she just was a little frisky. And I thought, Lou, you just better watch your P's and Q's, because I promise you, you're going to be one mighty embarrassed Yankee if that horse dumps you out here a long way from people, and you're supposed to be the cowboy, the horseman, and you're invited to that. You know, I noticed as I rode the mare to the right, the mare kept looking over her left shoulder because she knew exactly where headquarters were. She knew exactly where her feed table was. She knew exactly how to get home. And I was the visiting guest, and I thought, you know what, Lou, if you don't watch yourself, that mare is going to be home before you know what happened, with or without you. Well, I knew I need to settle her in and get her attention because we might soon part company if I didn't carefully win her confidence and get her to settle. The Bible says to us, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his deeds his behavior in the gentleness of wisdom. For where there is bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. Well, that wouldn't be me. You see, that mare had a mind of her own. That mare had a destiny of her own. That mare had a calling of her own. That mare was homeward bound. And she was looking for an excuse to part company because she was filled with selfish ambition. We've just finished a generation of Christianity where church after church has divided our nation and divided our churches, friends. We've lost a lot of momentum. Only through pride cometh contention. Only through pride. Do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. You see, there's all kinds of selfish ambition in our life, but we don't always realize it. God doesn't wait till we're perfect. You see, when he finally called Moses, Moses makes lots of excuses and says, well, I can't go there, and you know, I ought to be home here, and I'm not good at speaking and things like that. And finally, Moses finally surrenders to that, and then God sends an angel to kill him. That's a brilliant move, God. How come we didn't think of that? And his wife runs to the second son, circumcises him on the spot, throws the foreskin at his feet, you're a bloody husband! You see, Moses and Zipporah had contention between them, and they were unusable because of a marriage rift, arrogance, because there was selfish ambition in their lives, and they didn't like the things going on. They had this gristle spot in their life. Abraham and Sarah had the same thing, and God called them both. But he could not use it until Abraham quit lying about his wife, who was technically his sister. See, the mare was fine as long as you left her alone. But when you called her to a higher purpose, things got flushed to the surface. When you took her away from her comfort zone, certain things were exposed in her life that weren't there. God calls all of us, but as he calls us, he reveals and flushes things to the surface that need to be dealt with, and he will literally stop your mission. He'll put you to death unless you decide to be equally yoked with God and you surrender those issues that are standing between your heart and his. And unfortunately, dear friends, there's selfish ambition in all of us, but we don't get caught in it or we don't know in it. You see, life is not about self. Well, we settled down and we were riding along decent, and the mare relaxed a little bit and rounded the curve there, and some of the other outriders had gone out to different parts, and I'm there riding the mare, and I'm riding along of Mrs. Davis. Now, Mrs. Davis was a Springer heritage, but she married Leonard Davis, so that's why her name became Davis. And I'm riding a whole, she's the owner and the go-to person, and she's pretty seasoned, and she's not too flattered by Yankees. She's not too impressed with Easterners and all that sort of thing, but we're riding along, having a little conversation, and all of a sudden I see it. It catches me out of the eye. I look over there, and there it is, but I don't say anything. So I try to ride my horse toward that thing, and my horse snorted and ripped back and pulled back. And I'm thinking, oh, Lou, you're going to get hurt. You're going to really get... So I thought, well, Lou, don't play all your aces at once. Just ease yourself down off that horse. And maybe you can go over there and get that thing that you saw. And so I reach over there, and my mare snorts, and she pulls back, and I can't quite reach it. And finally, I get it. Yes. You're not impressed. Oh, you have no idea what's here. You have no idea. This isn't just a cow skull, folks. This isn't just a piece of leftover calcium. No, sir. No, this is a cow skull off the CS. This here was valuable stuff. I guess that's why they left it lay there for 30 years. I don't know, but it was mighty valuable to that Eastern boy because, you see, this was off the CS. Well, you don't know about CS, do you? No, I don't suppose. You see, Ted Turner owns the million acres next door. The B.F. Phillips Ranch is half a million acres next door to that. And Will James, who used to do artwork and history of all the West, he has a line shack up on the top where riders would ride into. And on that, the famous arch, there's hand-drawn artwork with his name. Will James signed there. It was home of Angel Fire, the great ski resort. A new thing. And this was off the CS. Even Jiggs Porter lived there. Well, who's Jiggs Porter? Jiggs Porter didn't even know because Jiggs Porter was so old he didn't even have a birth certificate. He had no idea how old he was. We just called him petrified. And then the history, the best remuda horses in the country by the American Quarter Horse Association, and this was off the CS, and I could have this for myself because nobody else was claiming it, and I found it. Mrs. Davis looked at me with an evil eye, like, are you really stupid or what? All that is a dead skull of a cow. Hello, we have them pretty regular around here. And equally unimpressed was my horse. And the more I took a hold of this skull, and once she saw that skull, I'm telling you what, there was a tussle, and I couldn't even get within distance of that mare. She was snorting. I thought, oh, Lou, you're an idiot. You're a certified idiot. And I wouldn't go to get close to the horse, and I thought, I'm never going to get on that horse. But I couldn't part with my prize. So I asked Mrs. Davis, if I would give this to you and you would hold it for a little bit and I could get on my horse and maybe you could hand it back. And she looked at me like, you are a Yankee, aren't you? You're a dumb one at that. She said, only until you get on your horse. And so I slipped up Mrs. Davis, and fortunately her horse was a little quieter. And I hopped on my horse. My horse was really snorty now. And I sided my horse over to Mrs. Davis's horse and reached over. And as soon as I reached and grabbed that skull, that mare started looking around, started getting tense. And I thought, Lou, you're going to get bucked off, run one of these stupid horns through your heart, and you're going to be a dead man just that quick. And just for what? Calcium. Hello, you could take this by the pill. What's wrong with you? Yeah, it is just calcium. And I thought what I was willing to risk for tinsel. Just tinsel. Oh, it may not look as fancy as a Lamborghini. It may not be as powerful as a Super Bowl ring. It may not be as persuasive as the latest beauty treatment. But none the same, it's still tinsel. Do not love this world, nor the things in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Of course, I still have my skull. Somehow I figured a way. But some, having forsaken faith and a clear conscience, have suffered shipwreck in regards to their faith for for tinsel. The question is, number one, life is not about self. How are we living that causes divisions and enmity in our life? Life is not about stuff. Rather than fearing failure, friends, we should fear succeeding at that which is unimportant. And how much have we put into pursuing and seeking the temporal rather than the eternal? Well, my mirror settled down a little bit. We moved on a little bit. And I was riding flank. Now, flank, I got my reins twisted up there. Flank is just what it sounds like. It's riding on the side. There's the lead rider, steer riders, and they steer a group of cattle, a band of livestock. They steer them to the right or the left, back toward the chutes. There's flank, and then there's drag. And if you, obviously, you want to move a set of cattle in a formation. And so, you know, after a while, I got, I got to move and slap my rope around and doing pretty good there. And we're making good progress. And every once in a while, you know, if somebody, a cow was falling asleep or a parishioner was falling asleep, you know, you just never know when a guy like this will come out there and rope somebody like that. Never sit on the front row and lose here. That's just the rule of it. Got it? And boy, I was impressed with myself. I was moving cows out, all the fat cows they were out running from. In fact, they picked up from a walk to a trot. Some of them were even cantering up there. More was I impressed with myself. And I looks over at Mrs. Davis and the rest of the herd, and they are giving me one of these looks. Now, you see, the culture of the West is they never tell you why you got one of those looks. They just give them to you free of charge. And you're supposed to figure out what one of those looks means. Well, it's kind of like a chinking. These are chinks here. They're not full length, so they're called chaps. Chaps are full length. And a chinking is when you were done with the day and you had done something stupid, they would throw you on the ground. They took their chinks off, and they just whooped you with your chinks. Now, there's buckles on this. I mean, that kind of stings a little. But they did the same thing with your birthday, too, if they were celebrating. You just had to figure out whether this was good or bad, whatever they were doing to you. And they were giving me one of those looks. And I was so impressed with myself because all those nice fat cows had moved right on ahead, man. And I was moving cows. Now, I didn't notice right off, give a guy a little chance, I did not notice that some of the skinnier cows were following the fat cows. And yeah, okay, maybe there were a few more calves at the back. Maybe the mothers had gone on without some of their calves, but I was moving cows. I don't suppose you get that, do you? No, probably not. You see, in our culture, fat is not a compliment. Unless it's phat, I guess. But normal fat, when somebody says, hey, you're a fat man, that's not really a compliment. But you see, in cows, you want fat cows because they're going to sell for beef. You want robust livestock. Well, kind of. Unless you're in the cow-calf operation. Well, you see, the reason the fat cows, the sleek models, moved ahead is because they had no calves. They didn't have any ties. They didn't have any obligations. And the reason they were fat is because they weren't nursing any calves. So they had nothing to do but run off and find some new opportunity and fresh grass. They kind of knew where it was at. They were having life. They were having fun. To move them wasn't hard. All you had to do was strip. They had lots of energy. They had lots of time. They had money. They drove a later model car. They dressed pretty stylish. They had time available. They could go out to eat lots of times. They were the sleek models. They were what the world tells us to envy, those slick models. Only in our culture it's the sleek, sexy, slim, sassy, affluent. The problem is the ones who were the mothers, the ones who were the nurturers, caught the idea that that must be success. That must be where life's at. And they followed after and left their calves behind more and more. We're living in a world when life is about what you have, friends. Life is about who you impress. I certainly was not making a good impression on the ranchers because I was taking those fat cows and sending them ahead, and we became envious. You see, the problem with the fat cows is that the skinny cows, the mothers, envied them. Don't be deceived, friends. Bad company corrupts good values. We're being deluded every day of our life as to what success is. We're being deceived that if we just chase after whatever that is and slim all of our extra sacrificial investments, that somehow we'll arrive someday at the things that are valuable. You see, life is not about self. Life certainly is not about stuff. And life is not about showing off. Bible says that you show partiality and you have quarrels among you because you have favoritism and you seek after. You see, we all want to impress people who can give to us. And the scripture somehow talks about us learning to serve him by serving those who cannot give back to us, that cost us something. Life is not about showing off. Well, it had been dry for a lot of years in Redbone. And when the cows moved forward, the calves dropped behind. And the other cowboys, all the big shots, took on drag position. Oh, it was dusty. The dust went up in their faces, and they pulled up their scarves and handkerchiefs over their face because they didn't want to eat too much dust. And it just clouded up all over them. And I thought, what a stupid position to ride in. Now there weren't just two or three. There were six, there were eight, there were a dozen calves all at the back who were going real slow because somebody had helped their mothers run off. More calves tended to drop back behind. Javier, I should have given him a piece of my mind. What did he know about horse and cows? Well, I looked over there and his horse actually bit one of those calves. I was going to tell him, you better train his horse better. And I looked over again and then I realized that even his horse had one up on me because his horse was nibbling the calf to keep it up. Ah, they're just calves. Who cares? They're just calves. Just like kids. I mean, after all, they're not that important. They don't even vote. They just eat. They're only 30% of the population. Big deal. But they are 100% of tomorrow's generation. Change the world of a child, and you change the world. You see, all calves in cowboy language are called dogies, just calves. But then there are sleepers. Those are calves that are out in the sun, and they just had nursed or something, and they've fallen asleep, and they're just laying in the sun, and they're sleeping. And it's easy to gather up a mama and chase her away, and the calf's still there. And then there are the crips. Those are the calves that may be three-legged, and they don't move as fast, and so they can't keep up, and they're a little slower. We call them the crips. And then there's the mavericks, and the mavericks are the ones that kind of scatter whenever you startle them, and they head out some other direction because they aren't going to be caught, and they aren't going to be corralled, and And then you have the young calves that are maybe a day old or 3 days old or a week old. They're not as old as the others, and they're not as fast either. Every once in a while, a cowboy will gather up a calf and put him on his saddle and take him in as well. Or you'd gather a pickup truck and you'd tie a calf up and you'd throw him in the back of the pickup truck because they couldn't keep up with the journey, even from the end of the pasture to the pens that gathered them. You see, I realize that the more we're living a life to impress the strong and the rich, the more the next generation falls behind, gets untouched by the life. We're living in a culture, friends. The Bible says, and there arose another generation that did not know the Lord, nor yet the works that he had done, that the generation to come might know the Lord. You see, it's easy to get caught up in the movement of busyness and success, and somehow we realize that we've lost a generation of men and women who are called to serve the King of Kings. It's not about stuff. It's not about self. It's not about showing off. It certainly was not about impressing the strong. It was not about our safety, our benefit. Well, we got the calves started coming together, and they were moving up to the corrals, and a lot of bawling and mooing going on. I'm telling you, the noise was phenomenal in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you get 500 head of cows bawling for their calves, and they're separating the jostle, and Javier and Nana, they're so easy going. The Mexican fellas just laid back. I mean, they're really good. I mean, Javier is so good that if he sees a rattlesnake 30 feet away, he can take the haunch of that rope and snap that rattlesnake in the head, boom, just like that, and kill it. These boys are good. And so I just watched their style and imitated them, things like that. And finally, as the calf and they start bawling and pushing and so forth, Javier jumps off his horse and grabs the calf and he throws it back in and jumps again. The other guy jumps off and like, wow, lightning just struck. I never saw Javier move that fast in his life. But I knew better than to ask him about anything right then because I had already been kind of stupid along the way. And I didn't want any more of those looks, whatever they meant. I knew they weren't complimentary. Well, Javier, things settled. We closed the gate on the last calf, and we didn't lose any calves. And I thought, well, obviously you don't want a calf to break loose because that's the purpose of gathering them. And Javier just wanted to keep that calf from running away. That'd be all there was to it. But I thought I'd better ask him. So Javier, I said, I noticed you moved awful fast, man, to get that last calf in when it wanted to kind of break the ranks. I said, no, I'm assuming it's because you don't want any other calves to follow it. Because, you know, when one calf breaks rank, when somebody rebels and leaves the youth group, when somebody leaves the family, you're always concerned there's others that will follow it. Because that calf must know where you're going, must know something you don't know. Well, Javier said, that's true. But he said, you don't understand, do you? No, I guess not. He said, we're moving summer, spring pasture. We're moving them up to summer pasture. He said, when these cows and their mamas move through, this gate will be closed. This chapter in life is over. Okay, you got the calves. No, you don't understand. You see, when that calf breaks ranks, he's going to go back to the last place he was nursed, and he's going to wait there for his mama to come and find him. Okay. I was in Florida Sunday morning doing preaching, and guy walks up from the back of the bike, and he's just coming to see me just like this, and I think, oh boy, I can feel the anger coming off of him. You ever felt it? You have. I can feel that I'm in trouble for something. Well, I knew the guy. I'd been to that church before, and he had a wonderful Christian family, great kids, homeschool family, the whole stuff, you know. And last year I was there, and then his boy came and spent a couple weeks with me up at my ranch up in Pennsylvania, and we had a great time, and his heart was renewed, and he spent back, and the father was coming up to me, and boy, was he mad. He said, my son is rebellious, and I'm ready to put him out of my home. And I knew he was implying that he deserved a full refund for his rebellion because he had sent him to me for a whole week at Miracle Mountain Ranch, and he'd only had him for 18 years. So that was a fair enough trade. He needed a refund. And he says, he's ruining my family, and he's setting a bad example for my other kids, and I've got to put him on the street. It's one of those times where if you say something, you're in trouble, and if you don't say something, then you're in trouble. And so I just stood there and took it. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, that's got to hurt a lot. Then he was really mad at me because I didn't give him any advice. So I just let him, steam's just flying off of him. And he looked at me like, is that all you're going to say? You bet. I'm ugly, ain't stupid. So he turned. He turned on his heel right here, and he walked off. He's marched back, and he's still mad at me. He gets all the way back to that door. And I whispers, well, there is one thing you could do. I knew he needed a little trek to cool off, you know what I mean? And he finally stopped at that door, and he kind of came up humbler than he was. And he kind of walked a little cooler back to me. And this time he said, what's that? I said, I don't know your situation, but there's just one thing I want you to do before you put your son on the street. I want you and your wife to get your family photo album out. I want you to go way back 18 years when your wife was first pregnant with this. And the first picture you took of her showing a little bump. And the next pictures you took. Because only the firstborn ever gets pictures. You do know that, don't you? It's a violation of all lastborn babies whom I am. So I have a little resentment here to grind. I knew they had pictures. And I said, as the months went along and you learned about this baby and you thought about it being a boy or a girl and you picked the names and you thought about those names and the meaning of those names and what it was going to be like to have a firstborn little girl for a little boy. And then when he came forth and you finally had a son and you named him what you named with vision and desire and your heart overflowed with the joy of your heart, the fullness you could not measure in any other form. You look at those pictures. Remember, and you walk through year after year of family vacations and birthdays and the celebrations, and you remember the joy and the laughter and the fellowship and the wonderful times you've shared together. And then you put all of that into perspective, that what you've had for the last year or two is just for a small window of time, and the decisions you make now are going to affect the next 50 years of your life. Put it in perspective. He stepped back and realized that he loved his son dearly. But he was hurt, and he was angry, and he was frustrated. I said, you may have to put your son on the street, but one thing he'll know, that his father loves him. And you need to know that you love your son. You're not just angry and hurt by him. Dear people, there are any number of calves out there that are labeled rebellious, that are labeled maverick, that are labeled difficult to work with. Do you know when you crowd those calves, friends, they aren't rebellious, they're scared. They've never been here before. They've never been separated from the things that they're familiar with. They're scared kids. And they bolt out of desperation to save their life and to find perspective. And they're back waiting where they were last nursed for somebody to come and find them and draw them to themselves. They may be our own kids. They may be somebody else's kids. You may be the shepherd, the cattle, calf tender. Not cowboy, the calf tender. My sheep, Jesus says. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Because I'm not willing to leave any of those children in that pasture. when we move on. He calls us to find the wounded, to heal the afflicted, to admonish the unruly. But he never calls us to abandon them, wherever it may lead. Let's pray. In all honesty, friends, there's tons of people I've given up on and wanted to give up on lots more. But Jesus tells us to be long-suffering, to bear with, to intercede for. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never, 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 never fails. It's easy to be hurt. It's easy to quit. It's easy to blame. The unfortunate part, there are lost calves out there, friends. Sometimes the reason they're lost is because of our pride. We're living for our own righteousness. Sometimes the reason they're lost is because we got distracted as leaders about stuff that's totally unimportant. Sometimes the reason they're lost is because we're trying to impress people. Sometimes they're lost because we lost the value and the vision of bringing the little ones along. They may be 40 or 50 years of age, friends, but in their heart, they're still little ones, lost calves. May God put it upon your seat. The great shepherd of the deep calls you all to be under shepherds, to go and seek the one that is lost, to go and intercede for the one that is broken, and bring forth souls with perseverance. The price paid to deliver. Cost you nothing, friends, it's worth nothing. That person may not be worth it in your eyes, but Jesus is. As unto him, serve. Father, we look to you, those things that are needed in our lives to find direction and fulfillment for your honor and glory.